Very good morning to one and all. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I bring greetings to you from your brethren in Life Church. And I'd like to also take the opportunity to wish all of us here a very blessed Mother's Day, whether you're a mother or grandmother or have been like a mother to someone. All right, today is Mother's Day, and so it is appropriate for us to consider what the Bible teaches us about family life. It is well known that family life today has deteriorated considerably, and people attribute it to the stress and strain of modern living. Do you know that last year it was reported that more parents are now taking up this thing called a beyond parental control order against their own children? And this order applies to children above the age of 16, or rather children age 16 and below, and have behavioral problems in school or at home. And they are not offenders, but their parents have applied to the court for assistance in managing them because they can't control them anymore. And so what has caused such a phenomenon, such an increase? Apparently there has been a breakdown in authority and also in discipline. But more significant, I think, this is an indication that there's a breakdown in communication between family members. And sad to say, Christian families have not been spared from such a breakdown. You know, we may all appear to be very outwardly good and very spiritual every Sunday, especially when we come to church as a family. But in reality, all this may just be a facade for what happens at home. Family life, you know, that is constantly in bickering and really in shambles. You know, in most churches today, pastoral staff regularly receive calls to resolve family issues and to counsel troubled parents and children. And much wisdom and prayer is needed to do this. You know, the pressures of Christian families today have become so great that we really cannot afford to neglect any longer our home. We cannot afford to ignore our loved ones. We cannot take them for granted. Right now is a time when we really need to guard our family life. We all need to pay closer attention to our loved ones. How can we be worshiping the Lord here Sunday after Sunday if we fail to do His will faithfully right in our own home? How can we be entrusted with spiritual responsibilities over God's flock if we are not fulfilling our most basic family responsibilities at home? So let us therefore make every effort to keep our home life in order, and if we need to set it in order. And I need to say this to all family members, whether you are fathers, whether you are mother, whether you are children, whether you are brother or sister, all of us, without exception, bear a spiritual responsibility to build a healthy family life at home. We all have our various roles, our various parts to play in doing this. And perhaps for some of us, it may really take a great deal of humbling ourselves. It may require us to make an apology or to seek forgiveness for things that we have done or things that we have not done. And for others, it may require forgetting the painful memories of the past and being willing to forgive and forget. Perhaps it may also mean making some sacrifices for others, changing our habits, rearranging our priorities. Now, all of these things, admittedly, are not easy for anyone to do. But we simply cannot neglect them. Because if we neglect them, then we would also be deserving of the same rebuke that the Lord Jesus gave to the Jews of His day. And this is what we read a while ago in our scripture text from Mark chapter 7, verse 9 to 13. And let me read this to you again. And He said to them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now here, our Lord Jesus was actually speaking to a group of Jews known as the Pharisees. The Pharisees were extremely meticulous about washing their hands, about maintaining ceremonial cleanness so that they could go to the temple and worship God. They were also very careful about whatever they touched and whatever they ate. Utensils that had come into contact with ritually unclean food could not be used. Now, in other passages, the Pharisees are described as Jews who prayed the longest prayers in public, who fasted very often, who gave tithes of all their possessions, and who studied the laws of God so carefully just to ensure that they did not break any of them. But in their religious zeal, they had neglected the weightier and more important matters of God's law, such as judgment and mercy and faith. And one of the weightier matters of the law that they had neglected was their responsibility to their parents. Now, how had they done this? By inventing an exemption clause to the fifth commandment. Now, we all know that the fifth commandment is about honoring one's parents. According to the traditions made by these Pharisees, a son need only declare that what he had intended to give to support his parents is considered as korban, meaning that it is a gift devoted to God, and it could no longer be designated for the parents' use. By devoting the gift to God, a son did not necessarily promise that he would now bring it to the temple, nor did he prevent its use for himself. What he did do was to legally exclude his parents from gaining any benefit from it. You know, in today's terms, we would say that the Pharisees had found a legal loophole that they could exploit to circumvent the law. And knowing the sinful nature of human beings, we can be sure that many would take advantage of this loophole to shirk their responsibility of providing for their own parents, and would be able to do so with the full blessing of the Pharisees. You know, the very same sins are still found today. Many are still trying to find ways and means and loopholes to avoid their responsibilities to their parents, even right here in Singapore. You know, the situation actually became so bad here that our government actually had to set up a tribunal system way back in 1996 just to settle maintenance disputes between parents and their children. And within only three years of implementing this, over 400 elderly parents sued their own children for maintenance. And now this tribunal court is now become part of the Family Justice Court, which was just organized last year. And now this also includes a specialized mediation and counseling. Just 2 years ago, it was reported that many elderly Singaporeans are being abandoned overseas by their own children in nursing homes in places like Johor and others in Indonesia and even in China. And this has become a matter of great concern. You know, one reason for exporting their parents is that nursing care is a lot cheaper overseas. But the other reason is that it is harder for the nursing home to contact the children if they default on paying their fees or if they stop visiting the parent. Now, there are some who regard the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, only as a commandment that is meant for little kids. And they would fully support its teaching in Sunday school classes. And they would tell their children, you better pay attention to this lesson because this is for you. You must listen. You must learn this lesson well. But dearly beloved, this commandment, the fifth commandment, is not only meant for children, it's also meant for adults. And we must not think that once we have grown up and become independent, that we have become completely free from all our duties, obligations, and responsibilities to our parents. We must honor them throughout our life. And the Bible gives us several examples of this. One of them is found in the life of King David. According to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 3, David was fleeing as a fugitive from the wrath of King Saul when he made the cave of Adullam his hideout. And then his family, consisting of his parents and his siblings from Bethlehem, came over to stay with him. Now David's concern for the welfare of his parents caused him then to bring them to his friend, the king of Moab, so that they could be taken care of. He said to that king, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Now, there may have been two reasons why David did this. Firstly, he may have been worried that King Saul may find him and then harm his parents while trying to kill him. Or perhaps another reason could be that David really wanted his parents to live in reasonable comfort, and that cave hideout of his was really not such a good place for them to stay in. But in all this, I think we can see how loving, how caring David was as their son. Now, in the New Testament, the importance of the fifth commandment is seen in the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ to Mary and Joseph, and that was when he was 12 years old. According to Luke chapter 2, verse 51, Jesus was subject unto them. He obeyed his parents. And even 20 years later, when he was dying on the cross, he still cared enough for the welfare of his mother to instruct John, his disciple, to take good care of her. He said, behold thy mother. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus actually did this while he was agonizing, nailed to the cross, and he was still able to think about his mother's welfare? Now, from all these biblical examples, I think we have already begun to see some specific ways in which we are to honor our parents. Now, I would like to consider five specific responsibilities that we have toward our parents. The first three are positive, and the last two are negative. Our first responsibility is to respect their position and authority. As God's word says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. And the word fear here means to accord to them the respect and reverence that is due to them. So please, do not ignore your parents while you're fiddling on your handphone, on your iPad, and they're just sitting, you know, waiting for you to pay attention to them. Don't take them for granted. Take notice of them. Give them the attention that is due to them. And you can do that, you know, by always acknowledging them, greeting them whenever you see them. You know, in the West, some people like to call their parents by their first names. Instead of calling them dad or mom, you know, they call them by their first names. I think this is not acceptable at all, at least to us here who, you know, live in the East. It's disrespectful. And we should treat our parents as we would treat a guest of honor. When you have a meal with them, give them the very best portion of food. When you walk with them, let them walk in front of you or beside you, but not behind you. And when you come, or when your parents come, to visit you, offer them the most comfortable seats in your home. You know, this is something that we can see even in the Bible. King Solomon did just that in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. It says here, Bathsheba, who was the mother of King Solomon, therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. You know, even though he was the king of Israel, Solomon still showed respect for his mother when she came to him. So showing respect is the very first specific responsibility that we have to our parents in the fifth commandment. The next responsibility that we have is to follow the instructions. We ought to listen to them attentively and not interrupt them when they speak. And having listened, we then ought to obey them, as we are told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I want you to take note of the words in the Lord. That's very important. You see, some of us here come from non-Christian homes. And when you come from a non-Christian home, sometimes you may find that your parents may instruct you to do something that goes against God's law. Like they will tell you, you know, I don't want you to go to church. I don't want you to attend any Bible study. I don't want you to read God's word. Or I want you to bow down before the household idols. Worse still, if you come from a non-Christian home, parents may instruct you to help them by cheating, by lying, by falsifying information, stealing for them. Do you have to obey them in such things? Well, the answer, of course, is no. Because by obeying them, you end up disobeying God. And parental authority is not higher than God's authority over you. And therefore, parental authority should not be obeyed whenever it violates God's authority. Now, the situation is quite different if our parents instruct us in non-moral matters. For example, a father may not want his adult son to be married to a person that the son proposes to marry. And the reasons that the father objects is, well, you know, I don't like the looks of your fiancée. You know, she's too fat. She's too skinny, right? Or a mother may tell her married daughter, I don't want you to listen to your husband, right? Whenever he makes a decision, don't follow him, right? Especially a decision to buy a new flat. You know, it's difficult to know what to do in such a situation, but let us consider two principles. Firstly, although obedience is still required in non-moral issues, it does not mean that we cannot try to persuade them to change their minds. Loving persuasion can go a long way to help if parents are willing to listen. And secondly, as long as we are not financially independent from them, we still have an obligation to obey them. But once we have a job, we're able to stand our own two feet, we become responsible for our own lives, then our parents must allow us to assume responsibility for our own decisions, including matters like the choice of a life partner or a career or making investments in life. And the Bible says that when a person is married, he leaves his father and mother and he cleaves to his wife. So it becomes a new family unit that must stand and, you know, make its own decisions. And therefore, marriage indicates that the couple is no longer under the parents' control. Now, this does not mean that married couples can then dispense with whatever their parents say to them. They should still have a high regard for any advice, any counsel that they receive from their parents. But they should not feel compelled to do everything that their parents may dictate to them on non-moral issues. Now, we proceed to look at the next responsibility that we have to our parents, and that is to provide for them in times of sickness and old age. You know, the Lord has actually arranged a very beautiful bond of mutual care between the generations. Parents have the privilege of giving care to their children in the first years of their children's life until they are old enough to take care of themselves. And then, children have the privilege of caring for their parents for the last few years of their parents' life. And this is a way of giving back the love that they had given to us. But some of you may say, you know, my parents are all sufficiently provided for. They're more than what I have. You know, they have CPF, they have MediSave, they have insurance, and so they don't need any support at all from me. But even then, if that is the case, you still should not forget them when you set up your own home, because they need other things. They need your love. They need it in the form of concern and regular communication, because this will then help them to cope better with what many parents face after all their children are married off, leaving an empty home, what we call the empty nest syndrome. So make it a point to visit or to call them at least once a week. By doing that, you help to ease their loneliness, which comes so easily with growing old. A visit or a phone call may not seem so important to you, but it is very important to them. You know, I learned about this 17 years ago when my own mother went home to be with the Lord. And, you know, after the funeral was over, we went through all her personal belongings. And as we did, we came across a stack of diaries that she had kept for the last 7 years of her life. And in those diaries, she wrote things like, "My son gave a phone call to me today," or "My daughter visited me today." These are the things that she recorded in her diary. And it made us realize how much those things meant to her. Now, we understand that sometimes it gets extremely difficult to take care of a parent who is aged, especially one who is sick or one who is bedridden. And, you know, it can really incur great financial costs. One needs to have plenty of love and a lot of patience to take care of a parent who suffers from things like dementia, incontinence, stroke, blindness, deafness, loss of appetite. He may even become, at times, unreasonable, difficult, very demanding. How frustrating it is when an elderly person who is not able to eat anything by mouth keeps pulling out the feeding tube from his nose. You know, in the weekly prayer meeting of Life Church, more than once we have had requests to pray for a member whose father or mother has gone missing, right? Thank God, you know, that our prayers were answered. The parent who was missing was eventually found. And things like this are likely to increase because it is reported that in 4 years' time, from now by the year 2020, all right, there will be about 45,000 people suffering from dementia in Singapore. It's not easy to be a caregiver to a parent who has dementia, because he or she has to be watched round the clock. And this can go on for years and years. And there may be times when you really feel that you want to give up. One way for you to persevere in doing this is to imagine yourself in that place. One day it will be your turn to go through the process of aging and then to deal with things like loneliness, fear, and even dementia. How would you like your own children to treat you in your evening years? Give this kind of care to your own parents while you still are able to do so, and make their final days on earth as pleasant as you would like your own final days to be. Because when they are gone, it will be too late for regrets. Now, here's a question that many people may ask. Should a Christian ever put his or her parent in a nursing home or in a hospice, this can obviously become a very painful decision for children to make. But I think the consideration is this: if you do not have the personal resources to give adequate care for your parent by yourself, then with his consent, you may put him in a nursing home where proper care will be given. You know, we have to be realistic about our own limitations, what we can do, even though we want to do our very best for them. And sometimes this may be the better choice. But if this choice is made, you must make it a point to visit him or her regularly and be sensitive to their needs. You know, the sad thing about the elderly who are placed in such a home is that their children tend to neglect them altogether. They are totally forgotten. They are, in fact, abandoned, because out of sight often means out of mind as well. And that would be clearly an abuse of the system. Now, there are also other options that can be explored, such as agencies which provide nursing care for the aged right in their own homes. And some who are able to afford it may employ a domestic caregiver who is at home and solely dedicated to the task of looking after the needs of the sick parent. But let me tell you this: nothing is better than receiving personal, loving attention and care and encouragement from one's own child. Now, we have already looked at three positive ways in which children should honor their parents. Let us now go on to look at two negative ways. The first is, do not take advantage of them. Right? Please do not treat your parents as servants. How do we do that? Well, one example would be to make use of them to babysit your children at a moment's notice. Right? You say, "Dad, you know, I'm going out now. I am going to bring my children over to your place." Now, you know, even though your parents may not object to that at all, because they love you and they obviously love to spend time with their grandchildren, you should still be considerate, because they may have already planned to do some other things. And then suddenly, you know, this request comes from you and they have to, you know, at a moment's notice, change all their plans. Do you know that siblings have been known to quarrel with one another over who can have mum to look after their children for them? They should actually let mum decide what she wants to do. Now, another way to take advantage of one's parents is to seek for a bigger share of the inheritance from them. One case in point is the prodigal son. You remember this parable about the prodigal son? He demanded his share of the inheritance even before his father died. And what did he do with it in the end? He squandered it all away. And now we come to the last of the five responsibilities that we have to our parents, and that is that we should not speak evil of them. We should never speak ill of our parents, even though they may not be the most perfect parents in the world. You know, it is sinful to reveal your father's or your mother's sins or speak of them in a despising manner to others. Honor them, even in whatever you say about them in your conversations with other people and on social media. And if you can't say anything that is good about your father or mother, it's best not to say anything at all about them. But if there is really a need to correct your parents, then use the right tone, the right manner to do it, and treat them or plead with them. The laws of the Jews prescribe that they cannot say, "Dad, you are committing a sin," but rather they should say, "Dad, let's look up the law together and see what it says." So the guideline here is not to do anything that would put your parents in a difficult position, that would humiliate them or to embarrass them. We see one example in Genesis chapter 9. You know, it records that when Noah became so intoxicated with wine that he laid down stark naked in his tent, then one of his three sons, Ham, disrespectfully gazed at his father's naked body and then went outside to broadcast the news to everyone. But the other two sons of Noah, that is Shem and Japheth, did an honorable thing. They took a garment to cover their father's nakedness, and they walked backwards so that they would not see it, because they handled their father's shameful act in a very honorable manner. They were blessed. So we should similarly handle our own parents' faults and sins with great care. This is something that can be very difficult to do sometimes, because we may be emotionally involved and too emotional to handle it well. For instance, what if my parents had treated me badly? They had been cruel to me, they had been unfair to me, compared to the way that they treated my brothers and sisters. Do I still have to honor them? The answer is yes, you do. Because that honor is due to them, not because they have earned it from you or because they are worthy of it, but because of the eternal relationship that is established between a parent and a child through birth. The child came into being through his parents, and that in itself gives them the right to receive honor from the child. No child will ever have any other mother or father from whom his life is derived. And so this brings us now to the last point of our sermon. Why should we fulfill these responsibilities? There are three reasons. The first is because parental authority represents God's authority to us. One example of this is the Rechabites in Jeremiah chapter 35. The Rechabites strictly observe the command that their father had given to them to abstain from drinking any wine. And even when the prophet Jeremiah came and offered them good quality wine to drink, they refused to yield. Right? They said, "We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, 'Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever.'" And for their obedience, the Lord commended them, all right, and held them up as an example for the Israelites who refused to obey him. Right? It says here, you know, at the bottom, "Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me." Right? And, you know, this is said in the context of the fact that the sons of Jonadab were so obedient to their own father. But the children of God were not like that. Now, the second reason why children should honor their parents is because there's a promise attached to this commandment. No other commandment among the Ten Commandments has a promise attached to it. Now, let's look at the promise as given here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." Wow. Be able to live long on the earth. Now, how does that come about? There are two possible ways. Firstly, obedient children are always a blessing to their parents and will take good care of them even into their old age. And as a result, the parents generally live longer, and they in turn will be there to provide wisdom and guidance out of their rich experience that will help their children then to prosper and to weather through the storms of life, resulting, you know, in being able to live longer. And the writer of Proverbs states this benefit like this. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Now, the word chains here does not mean chains of bondage, but rather chains of honor. Now, a second possible way that long life comes from obeying one's parents is this. Christian children who obey their parents well will also, by doing that, be obedient to the authority of God. They will learn through obeying the authority of their parents to obey other kinds of authority as well, especially God's authority. And they are less likely then to become rebellious, troublemaking misfits in society, more likely to be God-fearing and law-abiding, obedient people in society. And they will not end up being always taken to court or remanded for posting libelous videos and images on the web. And that would then augur well for a life of peace and tranquility that would tend to prolong their life on earth. Now, in addition to the incentive of having a long life, there's also a disincentive given in the Bible concerning the breaking of the fifth commandment. Children who do not provide for their parent in the time of sickness and old age will end up bringing shame and disgrace upon themselves. For example, we see here in Proverbs 28, verse 24, it says, "Whosoever robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." And Proverbs 19, verse 26 says, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote concerning those who refuse to support and to provide care for their widowed parents or grandparents. He said, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Dearly beloved, this morning, we have considered what is meant by the commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And if we have begun to realize from hearing all this that we have not kept this commandment, then let us be willing to repent before God and make every effort from now on to keep it. Learn how to honor our parents positively by respecting them, obeying them, providing for them when they need our support and care, and negatively by refusing to take advantage of them or to speak evil of them. Honoring one's father and mother is not always easy, but it is certainly not possible to do it in our own strength alone. We need God's help. And this is where the grace of God comes in, to help us to overcome the sinful nature, the flesh that is within us. We need the Lord's help on a daily basis to keep all his commandments. May the Lord therefore grant us all that grace that we need to keep his commandment diligently. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you that on this day we can learn what it means to honor our father and mother, knowing that this is a commandment not only meant for our children, but even for ourselves. And Lord, if in any way we have failed and we realize, oh Lord, that we have fallen short of obeying this commandment, we ask thee now, oh Lord, to forgive us and help us to repent of our sins and to change our ways so that we may learn to honor our parents, even to help them by providing for their needs, by respecting them, by not speaking evil about them. Lord, on this day, may you give us a new resolve, a new commitment, a new desire to obey your word, to love our parents, even as you have given them to us, to treasure them, even while we still have the opportunity to do so. And Lord, we pray that you will give us your help and your grace to follow up on this commitment, for we confess that in our own strength, we will fail. We will often forget what we have learned. Remind us, O Lord, again and again, for we ask these things in the blessed and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.